Our theme this year is One Another. And the next few weeks, we have a number of events that are coming up. This is a busy time of year for us. Things are coming up, and they give us an opportunity to encourage each other, to fellowship, to build each other up, spur each other on. We'll start tonight with the LTC presentation of awards across the street. We'll do that tonight at 5 o'clock. We want to build our young people up. And I want you to come and encourage them and let you know you're in for a treat. Our young people will be honored. We'll tell you more about what they did, and we'll have three groups that will show you what they did. So we'll have the chorus, the puppets, and drama. We'll show you that tonight, and I'm excited about it. Our kids work very, very hard with LTC, and I love that they're training to serve as leaders in the church in the future. And so we're raising up some giants for God's kingdom. You need to know that. And tonight, 5 o'clock, we'll do that. And then in a week, next Sunday night, we'll have our talent show. We are not necessarily the most talented, but we will have a show. I'll guarantee you a show, all right? Next Sunday night. And we need more acts. We need more participation with that. So there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Talk to Tom Cotting if you have any questions. But be looking forward to that next Sunday night. And then in 2 weeks, our men's retreat, which will be just on the other side of Manford at Frog Road Camp. And that's coming up quickly in 2 weeks. So, men, we need you to sign up. It is a special, special time when our men get away at their retreat, when our ladies get away at their retreat. It is a very unique time to spur each other on, to encourage each other, to lean on each other. It's a big deal. So I encourage you to be thinking about that. Sign up for that. Those things are coming up. The year was 2001. A Bedlam football game in Norman. And in case you think I'm embellishing this story, you can check with Richard Prater because he was there with me. He and I, on the third row, near the 50-yard line, behind the OU players, at a game that was supposed to be a blowout for the home team. And as I tell this story, I want you to forget for a little bit what a Sooner fan I am, and I want you to think about this story from the perspective of two young ladies that were in front of us. They were actually on the front row, probably college-age girls also watching the game, who by the end of the game I realized these are two OSU fans. And I want you to think about this from their perspective. Oklahoma State came to Norman with a 3-7 record. Their conference record was 1-6. Not a good year. Not a good team. The Sooners came to that game ranked 10-1, a record of 10-1. They were ranked 3 in the BCS standings. They were riding a 19-game home-winning streak. It was supposed to be a blowout. It was a low-scoring game. Toward the end of the game, OSU was down by only 4 points, and OU had led that game, but it was touch and go, and the Cowboys at that point had kicked 3 field goals during the game. That was all they had scored, but they were only down 4 points. Sooner fans would cheer at different points in the game, and I remember Richard and I noticed these two girls. They weren't really too excited, and they weren't really cheering. They weren't cheering for OSU either during most of the game, but at the end of the game, OSU had one drive left, and as they start marching down the field, these two girls start coming alive, and they start getting excited, and they start cheering. OSU quarterback Fields marches their team down the field. They go to the OU 14-yard line. From there, Josh Fields lofts a pass into the left corner of the end zone for Rashawn Woods, who outleaped the cornerback for the touchdown, for the lead, shocking the home crowd. Final score, 16-13. You imagine being those two girls on that front row seat, 50-yard line. What was that like? They were going nuts. Okay? Now, I was going nuts for a different reason, but they were going nuts. And I would imagine now, 16 years later, I don't know who they were, and I don't know where they are, but I would imagine they still talk about that game. There's something about the excitement of having a great seat to an event that turns out great. You think of having what it is to have a front row seat to some events, maybe to a concert of someone you'd really like to go and listen to, maybe a professional basketball game, but you have courtside seats. What is that like? There's excitement about that. But there's more excitement if there's some drama. There's more excitement. It's what excites us sometimes about sports because the outcome is in doubt. We don't know what's going to happen. That's why there's so much excitement. The same is true about movies. You may have noticed when you watch movies, many of the movies we watch, the movie will endear you to a main character early on in the movie. That's the purpose, and that they're laying the groundwork. And then here comes the drama. In the movie, there has to be drama. There has to be a problem. There has to be, oh no, what's going to happen? And here I am rooting for the main character. And it goes along, and usually there's a high point somewhere about two-thirds of the way through the movie. There's a high point. Hooray! I'm cheering on my main character. I'm so excited. But the movie's not over. There's a little more drama here. We have another twist, another turn. Oh no, what's going to happen? And typically the movie ends on a high note. The movies I like end on a high note. I was so mad when I watched Titanic. I know the boat goes down, right? Leonardo didn't have to die. I mean, they don't have. Some people lived. I want a movie that ends on a high note. You remember the movie A Few Good Men? Tom Cruise plays a young, inexperienced lawyer. He was chosen to fail. It was supposed to be a quick proceedings, and the high-ranking military officer played by Jack Nicholson was supposed to, this is supposed to all be done and just move on. It was a David versus Goliath scenario. And you remember in the movie when Tom Cruise, his character, he's badgering this high-ranking official. He's trying to get him to break. It's a long shot, but it's all he has. It's a Hail Mary. And he's badgering him. He's trying to get Jack Nicholson to say what he knows he wants to say. And there's finally that moment in the movie where he blurts out, "You can't handle the truth." And he doesn't stop there. And as the viewer, you're on the edge of your seat. You're thinking, "We got him. We got him." And he keeps going. Then he starts unfolding all these other details. And he incriminates himself. And the young attorney who was way outmatched just backs up and doesn't do anything. He lets him tangle himself in his own web. And as the viewer, your adrenaline pumps. You have goosebumps. You're excited. Why? Because the drama and because of the victory. We cannot experience the high if there's no challenge, if there's no trial, if there's no difficulty. We cannot experience the victory. Flipping your Bibles to Mark 4. Mark 4:35. This is in Jesus' ministry, well, relatively early in Jesus' ministry. It didn't take long when Jesus started healing for crowds to follow him, and they'd find him wherever he was. They would gather, they would press toward him, they would crowd trying to get to him. It seems common that he would get by a body of water, the Sea of Galilee, and he would get into a boat, because in a boat, then they could not, there was a limit to how far they could press against him. It was a crowd issue. Well, they do this. Jesus teaches that day, and then he tells his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." Evening come, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. Now, I don't know a whole lot about sailing or boating. By the way, some of these apostles, Peter, Andrew, James, John, they were professional fishermen. But when you're out in a boat and there's a storm or there's waves, you know, the boat rocks, that's a problem. Boat rocks more, that's a bigger problem. We can't navigate, that's an issue. But when the water starts coming in the boat, and you can't get it out, that's a whole different kind of issue. We're about to be in the paper tomorrow as casualties, right? We're about to die. We are about to drown. We're going down. And it doesn't take long. So the disciples, they are in full panic. Jesus, ironically, is asleep. He's in the stern. He's asleep. And they have to wake him. There's a whole other lesson in that, that Jesus is asleep and they're about to die because of this storm. So they wake him. They say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Jesus wakes up. He rebukes the wind. He tells the wind to stop. The wind stops. He says to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I'm not sure exactly, but the more I look at this, there seems to be Jesus does two things here. I don't know exactly how it was. Maybe he made one statement and it accomplished both. But you have the issue of the wind and you have the issue of the waves. And Jesus may have corrected those even separately. In other words, when you stop the wind, the waves still go for a bit. But Jesus stopped the waves as well. And there was perfect peace. And that moment. What was that moment like for the apostles? That moment of wow. They thought they were going to die. They woke Jesus still in panic. They had seen him feed the thousands. They had seen him heal the lepers. But they didn't know he could do this. They hadn't seen this. It was a different kind of thing. And Matthew's record of this shows that the disciples, their reaction to this, in Matthew 8:27, Scripture says that the men marveled. The disciples marveled. This is a moment. This is a wow moment. Because the wind and the sea, they obey him. And Jesus says to them, his answer to them is, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Do you think they ever forgot about that night? I wonder how long, I would expect to the end of their lives, the apostles were talking to each other and retelling this story. As people do, periodically, they would be together and they'd say, Peter might say to Andrew, "You know what, do you remember when Jesus calmed that storm? Man, wasn't that something? Wow." I would expect those apostles, if they're in paradise or heaven, wherever they are right now, I would expect they still tell each other and remind each other of that day when they saw the Son of God calm the storm instantly. Wow. You would never forget that. And the question arises, could Jesus have prevented the storm to begin with? Remember, Jesus says to them, his answer to them, why were you guys so afraid? Did you not know who I was? Why were you in such a panic? The truth is, Jesus could have prevented the storm, but had he prevented the storm, he never could have calmed the storm. You think about in our life how much we need God to calm storms. You need to know God is still rescuing. Amen. We read in the Scripture of a God who rescues, and we must know God is not done rescuing. He still rescues. The truth is, listen to this. When you have trials and you pray to God for help, you have an opportunity to see Him. That's today's lesson. When you have a trial, a struggle, and you pray to God for help, you have an opportunity to see Him. And I don't mean see Him literally. I mean see Him work. And I want to point out a few. Karen Sism has been through a number of trials. This goes back to when I first came here years ago. I was the youth minister, but Karen has been through some trials. Karen has seen God work. She has seen God. I remember these two, Cindy Ivey and Susan Lorden. It wasn't long, one after the other, they had an issue that the remedy and the solution was surgery. It was brain surgery. Now, it might seem small looking back on it. I don't think it does, but I'm going to tell you something. Brain surgery is not small. Ever. And they got to see God. They got to see God rescue. Kyle and Stephanie not too long ago with Tinley. When Tinley was born, for 27 days, she was in the hospital. In ICU, day after day, what's happening? Not sure. Not sure you know, how this thing's going to go. But I'll tell you what, they saw God. They saw God working in their baby's life. Mark and Susan Holland have seen God working. Curtis and Stephanie Price have seen God working. And the ones I mentioned, you need to know they didn't get every prayer answered. It's not that every wish was answered, because there's prayers for a healthy baby. Hey, we didn't get that from the start. We didn't get to take our baby home, you know, day two or day three. There's prayers. God, help me not to need brain surgery. That one didn't get answered, but another one did. And when we, I'll give you another example. Kim Rester, her mother passed not too long ago. When you lose a loved one, oftentimes we're praying for God to spare them, but we know God gives us life, and at some point we all pass, but we don't want our loved ones to, and we pray. And my point is, when even in times where we didn't get maybe our main wish granted, God is still working. And I know from talking to Kim about all the days and of her nearing her mother's passing, and the days before and the days after, she says, you know, God did so much. God's done so much. And I've heard that time and again from ones who've lost a loved one. Maybe you didn't get what you really wished you could have gotten, but what you did get is a God that still rescued. He still strengthened. He still worked. You still saw God. And God is with us. Aline Leatherman is seeing God work right now. She has seen Him numerous times in her past. You should talk to Aline and ask her and have her tell you what all God's done for her. And He's doing it right now. She's going through another one. But God's working in her life, and she has seen Him work. Kristen Tucker is seeing God right now. Kristen had surgery to repair hearing. She's losing hearing in a major way. This is a major deal, and she won't know till it fully heals. We don't yet know the outcome. And what that means is she's in a trial right now. But what it also means is she has a front row seat. She has a front row seat, right? She's in the cry room. She has a front row seat to see God work in her life. When you have a trial, here's what you need to do. Three things. I'll share three short scriptures with you with these. First one's obvious. First one's relatively easy. It's instinctive. Sometimes, even if we're not good at praying or naturally at praying, God will let us have something like the disciples in the boat, where finally we hit the panic button, and if we don't pray early and often, we eventually pray late and desperate, but we still pray. Scripture says, do not worry about anything, but pray. Pray. Instead, pray. Now, the second part gets a little more difficult. Trust. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. I'll circle back to trust, because we struggle with that. We pray and we worry. We pray and we fret. We need to pray and trust. And we don't get very far with trust sometimes. Third, we need to watch. Psalm 5:3, and I like how the New American words this. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. So, to pray is natural. Surely at some point we pray. To trust is not natural. We have to work at that. This third deal is a whole nother animal. Because second is, God, I trust you. I trust you. I'm trying not to worry. I'm trying not to stress. I trust you. Number three is, God, I trust you so much, I'm sitting down. I have taken my seat. I'm not pacing. I have taken my front row seat, God, and I'm watching. I'm watching. Not critically. I'm watching joyfully, anxiously, like when you go to a movie and the movie has drama. You watch with excitement to see what's going to happen. How's this going to work out? And that's number three. Watch. Now, let me circle back. Oftentimes we don't pray in trust. We pray in hope. And I don't mean biblical hope. I mean like little bitty hope. Do you remember the January 16, 1991, Desert Storm, shock and awe? You remember when coalition forces began a military bombardment of the capital of Iraq? This was really the first war that the population, you and I, actually were able to witness. Instead of just reading headlines in a newspaper, what's going on in the war, we're watching it live. Do you remember watching that? Do you remember? I'll show you one picture, because if you do, you'll remember this. You remember that picture? It began at night in Iraq, about 3 in the morning. We're bombing targets, and the Iraq defense is throwing up from 3,000 anti-aircraft guns. They're throwing anti-aircraft artillery fire. Here's the irony. You remember seeing that, the randomness of it. The truth is, our planes were flying well above this anti-aircraft fire. The anti-aircraft fire was not targeted. It's a wish, and I'll use this word, and you'll understand what I mean. It's a wish and a prayer, and I don't mean a prayer with faith. I mean, they're just throwing up fire, hoping to hit something that would fly that low, which we weren't flying that low. And my point is this. Oftentimes when we pray, we're praying about like this. God, please help. I don't know what we're going to do. We need to stop and pray. Okay, let's pray. God, please help. Okay, now, I don't know what we're going to do. And we go right back to worrying. We have prayed, but we prayed with very little faith. We just threw that up like, I don't know, maybe this might do something. We can't. That's not this kind of prayer. That's not this kind of prayer. We have to pray with faith. We have to trust, and we have to watch. When we are in a trial or we have drama in our life, we have a front row seat to the greatest show on earth. It's not a movie. It's not a game. It's the Almighty God intervening in the life of His child, and no other seat can compare to an event like that.
Right.
No other seat, no other event, nothing we ever go to can compare to a front row seat when there's problems in your life and you're praying to Almighty God and you trust Him, and then you do number three, you watch. Yep. God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you're going to do something. I know you're going to do something, because Romans 8:28 says we know that in everything God works for the good of those who love Him. That's how I know. And I know because God's done it before. God, you're going to do something. I just don't know exactly how. I don't know exactly what. But I know this. Here's who I'm praying to. To Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask, think, or imagine, according to the power work within us. When drama happens in our life, we tend to cringe. When drama happens, when difficulty comes, right? We tend to cringe. Oh no. But remember, God cannot rescue you if you're never in danger. God cannot bless you if you're never in need. God cannot refresh you if you're never empty. He could not calm the storm with the disciples if He had prevented the storm. If God prevents all our trials, He can never work in our life in a powerful way. Right? How are you going to see God working in your life if you never have a trial to pray about? And so there's beauty in that. There's beauty in being able to witness what God's doing. Now think about the disciples, and remember Jesus answered to them. Jesus allowed the storm so He could calm it. The disciples, when they woke Him, after Jesus calmed the storm, what was His reprimand to the disciples? Jesus didn't say, you know what, maybe I should have made that not even storm. Maybe I should have kept that from even coming up in the wind and the waves. No, He says to His disciples, why did you have so little doubt? In other words, you had a good seat. You had a good seat to the show. You could have enjoyed it. You guys didn't even get your popcorn. You didn't even get your drink. You saw the show, but you saw it on accident. You could have enjoyed it. Isn't that the message? When Jesus said, why did you doubt? Isn't that the message? Jesus, there was still a storm. Jesus correction about them doubting was had nothing. It wasn't that the storm should not have happened. The storm was, we were about to drown. I rescued you. Jesus' question is, why did you worry? In other words, why weren't you watching? You prayed. You asked me for help. You trusted some. But you weren't watching. You weren't watching to see what I was going to do. I encourage you to train yourself. And I want to make the point that this is not easy. Praying is easy. Praying with faith, not so much. Trusting is not easy. But with practice, we will get better. To watch is a whole other animal. When you're in a trial, to watch anxiously and excitedly about what is God going to do here. I wonder what God's going to do. That's a whole different deal. I encourage you to practice this. And when a trial comes your way, to take your seat. Take your seat. Get your popcorn. It's a different prayer to say, God, please help me. I trust you. And I'm now going to sit down. And I will witness you. I will watch you, God. You're my God. And you say you will rescue me. And I know you will. It may not be the way I want it. But it will be. And it will be great. And I get to see it, God. And I'm privileged. And I sit down to witness your glory. Isn't that something? That's a whole different attitude. We're going to sing a song to close this morning. I like this song. It's perfect for today. God, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. And we're going to sing this song. And if you're here and struggling and there's a need you have, we'd love to pray with you about that. If there's one here this morning who's not right with God, you've never had your sins washed away, never confess your faith to Christ, we'd love to help you with that. Love to see one be born again today. If there's a need, please come while we stand and sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Shining in the light of your glory.